God's grace, his mercy, and his peace are yours. From God the Father, and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our hearing is that Deuteronomy text, chapter 8, verses 1 to 10. We'll highlight it with some words off the screen. Be careful to obey every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and possess the land the Lord promised on oath. Remember how the Lord your God led you these 40 years to humble and test you, causing you to hunger, feeding you with manna, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him. The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, brooks, streams, deep springs, wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hill. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. This is the word of our God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ on this Thanksgiving Day, do we see it before us? The rich feast of our God? Or are we just a little bit distracted by the amazing meal waiting for us at home? Maybe your traditional holiday fare. How about this? Off my recipe cards. Roasted pumpkin guacamole. Cilantro lime rubbed chicken, chorizo stuffed squash, and chipotle cream cheese pumpkin pie. Any takers for that? No. How about this one? Lentil loaf with vegan gravy, cranberry pear sauce, butternut squash chili, festive chickpea tart, roasted carrots quinoa bowl. Any takers for that? One over here. One over here. Good. How about this? Roasted turkey, mashed potatoes, butternut squash, cranberry sauce, green bean casserole with those onion rings, dinner rolls, pumpkin pie with a dollop of whipped cream. Now that fits like an old sock, doesn't it? An old slipper. Ding, 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 somewhere up there was your feast, right? You know, we come from different backgrounds, different experiences, different cultures, different palate preferences, and what qualifies as a feast, right? But isn't there one main ingredient that is common for all of us as God's people at this time of Thanksgiving feast? Don't we celebrate the gifts of the triune God? One giver of the daily bread, the Father. One giver of salvation, the Son. And one maestro of the spiritual kitchen who whips up regularly for us daily spiritual food, the Holy Spirit of God. We have a rich feast in front of us. Do we see it? Before we dig deep into the menu, though, let's turn our attention to the screens. And as quite often God's people do, let's begin our meal today with prayer. Let's read together. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. You know, when I was a kid, Thanksgiving happened at Grandma's house. Now, Grandpa lived there too, but we just called it Grandma. And when I was a kid, Thanksgiving for me, in all honesty, really revolved around the daily bread, what I was going to eat. And I was always gunning for Grandma's apple pie, but you had to be polite and eat the meal first. So then next on my hit list was Grandma's stuffing. And she made the kind with pork sausage and raisins and apples, and I could not get enough. On the drive to the farm the day before, I would be focused, just in the anticipation and joy of my daily bread from the Almighty God, Grandma's stuffing. What are you gunning for today? Maybe a little bit of cranberry sauce with some applesauce mixed in there? Maybe some butternut squash? Are you a white meat person or a dark meat person? And have you heard of Snicker apple salad? What a deal. A dessert tucked in the middle of a meal labeled the salad. Splendid. Awesome. But did you catch what was first on God's menu list? His priority. He said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Notice, not pie, not stuffing, but promises, the promises of God. For ancient Israel, the promise sounded something like this. Be faithful in following your God and you will experience the blessings I have promised. I will make you as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give to you the promised land of Canaan. Now, you and I can understand why, for Israel, it was really tempting to make that promise a daily bread promise only. Now, the promise to you and me sounds similar. Be faithful in following your God, and you will experience the blessings I have promised. You will be a people purchased with my blood from every tribe and nation and language, and I will give to you the promised land of heaven. Now you might be thinking, well, yeah, but where is our daily bread in that? I mean, the turkey and the stuffing, where is that? Well, rest assured that it's not an afterthought on God's part. He knows we need it. But have you ever noticed that in the prayer menu that Jesus gives to us, the petition about our daily bread is tucked in the middle, the fourth one down. The first three petitions deal with spiritual things, spiritual food, Jesus' way of reminding us that we live primarily on every word that comes from the mouth of God. With that in mind, it is healthy for us to plan how will we make our Thanksgiving feasts more than daily bread feasts that look back in time and down with thanksgiving to earthly blessings, but that also include this eager anticipation of God's promises that cause us to look up and to look forward, anticipating how he will bless us. So welcome to this worship this day and to the first course of your Thanksgiving meal. After all, isn't it true that whenever you and I step into our house of worship and sit at God's table, that we are feasting on the promises of God? Promises that are credible and nourishing because of the track record of the giver. Never will I leave you. And he has never left us. Promises that inspire hope and joy from the giver, who has said to us, I will send my son to remove your sins from you. And he did. And then weekly and daily, if we're in the Word every day, weekly specials, spiritual food, side dishes that challenge our living, that prompt our thinking, and that ultimately inform our planning. The bread of life is always our focus. His good news, this message of salvation, is all that we're about and all that we do. We pastors are privileged to serve as waiters at the tables. A joyful task from our God, tasked with the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tasked with laying out the side dishes that flow from this good news of a Savior from sin and death. All these blessings that God lays out before us that cause us week to week or day to day to say, thank you, God. Now, in all honesty, some of us might be balking just a bit at God's feast being laid out before us on plates of hope and promise. We may be acknowledging it in our heads, and we want to embrace it, but we can't help but think to ourselves, where is God's love, though, in the real struggles of my life? There are hurts in me you cannot see. Struggles with my God of which you are unaware. God's promises smothered with hope on the menu, I'm not always seeing it. Well, let's switch analogies for a moment. What are some of the qualities of a good athletic coach? Well, growth comes in success and in failure. No pain, no gain is how we train. And remember to celebrate the little successes. A great coach knows the game and how to win. A great coach knows that it's only a game and not all about winning. Yet a great coach knows it's still about trying to win and how to get there. So the great coach has conditioning drills that challenge her players, that stretch her players, and drive them to the very edge of their gift set and abilities. The great coach, though, also has a pizza party after a loss and appreciates each and every single player for his or her contribution and growth in whatever the game is. Do we know that our God is a great coach? Listen again to what he said to Israel through Moses. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. Get this. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, this bread from heaven, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You see, the Lord is a great coach, always teaching and developing. Someone once said this: trouble arises when people enjoy prosperity so much that they forget the God who gave it. Let's hear that again. Trouble arises when people enjoy prosperity so much that they forget the God who gave it to them. So the Lord coached Israel, and he coaches you and me. Just enough struggle so that we always remain focused on what really matters. You know, when I was a kid, I did not like butternut squash. And we'd be at the Thanksgiving meal, and Mom would pipe in from across the room, make sure you give Nathan some squash, it's good for him. I can tell you that later on today, when the feast is happening at our home, please pass the squash will roll easily off these lips, because I have learned to love squash, and it's good for me. Maybe not better than snickerapple salad, we'll see. Like Mom, the Lord challenged and stretched Israel on a regular basis. He used hunger in the belly to challenge them and to remind them that he has a heart that loves to serve. And more importantly, he has a heart that wanted to give them eternal life in this future Messiah, this future Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God is a good coach. He is good at parenting, and we learn it from him. Moses wrote, "Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." In my service at Wisconsin Lutheran College, I got to know some amazing students, some of whom are sitting here today. One of them was a man named Jeremiah Cady. A brother in Christ, a Fox Valley Lutheran High School grad, a commanding officer of a company for the United States Army in Afghanistan. Jeremiah walked into my office on November 7th, 2012, to give me his first badge ever from the military, awarded to him for leadership upon graduation from infantry school at Fort Benning, Georgia. A soldier's sword and the words, "Follow me." Jeremiah walked into my office that day the way he always did, leaning heavily on his cane, and then sitting and adjusting his back brace so that he could sit without pain. I believe an improvised explosive device while leading his soldiers in Afghanistan, Off it went, down he came, home he came, forever changed, but all for the good. Jeremiah had been trained by the United States Army how to fight to survive, but he had been tempered by his Savior Jesus in the fires of war to know how to not just survive, but to thrive in the victory of his Savior Jesus Christ, resurrection to life. God's love that could never be taken away from him. Jeremiah would say that this life had taken something from him, but that daily Jesus gave him all that he needed. Jeremiah sees the halls of heaven. Jeremiah smells the heavenly feast at the banquet board. And Jeremiah envisions a walk one day without the pain and without the cane. Hope that fills his heart every day with the love of God in the midst of his struggles. Jeremiah gave me this patch to say thank you for inspiring people to trust the words of Jesus when he says, come and follow me. And I could say to him, Jeremiah, back at you, brother, because you inspire me. So sometimes in life, it is wise to say, please pass the squash. I hear it's good for me. So you are done with the feast. Your stomach is full. You need nothing more. You've been there. We'll be there later today. You need nothing more. But you haven't had dessert yet. And Dutch apple pie has been waiting warm on the stovetop, and it's coming your way. Real whipped cream. And you say and you pray, dear Lord Jesus, thanks for the blessings that just keep on flowing in my life. Thanks for the faithfulness of your love. Help me to always see the blessing. God reminded Israel of his faithfulness, his faithful blessings. It's here again. During those 40 years in the wilderness, your clothes did not wear out. Imagine that, 40 years, same clothes. And your feet did not swell. So when the Lord your God brings you into this good land, remember my faithfulness. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. My friends, it is a gift to be able to daily see and acknowledge the blessing. Imagine for a moment that this front wall of church symbolizes eternity and all of the blessings of God. And we acknowledge that it limps already because it has ends, right? But if this symbolizes eternity, that's where the Lord of the feast, the God of the feast, is always working in our lives. And our lives are this little red dot I put on the brick. 40, 60, 80 years, the psalmist says, if we have the strength. And our God is always working from the perspective of forever to bring us safely out of that little dot of this life to himself forever. Now, my problem is, in that little dot on the wall in my 40, 60, 80 years, my problem is I'm now caught up in the Brussels sprouts that God serves with the feast. God, I don't like Brussels sprouts. They don't taste good. And there are times that I can obsess and I can whine, forgetting the lessons I learned with squash of the persistent, ever-present blessings of the Lord my God. Now, in Israel's case, they actually had clothes that did not wear out for 40 years and feet that did not swell. But the beauty is you and I have such clothes as well. Clothed with Christ's righteousness, the forgiveness of our sins given to us in our baptisms. It never wears out. And we have such spiritual feet. No swelling on the journey home to heaven. And why? It's because Jesus is rocking right there with us, walking ahead of us, carrying us. When the way gets steep, he reaches down and lifts us up. When the way gets rocky, he takes our hand. When the way gets dark, his voice lights up the path and his promises inspire us with hope. And one day we know that our journey will take us out of that little dot into the big banquet hall of heaven. And you and I will be there because, again, Jesus went ahead of us on the eternal journey. He faced his Father's judgment for our sin. Our sin took away his life, but he, as God, picked up his life again, and he has shared that with us. And he will share it richly with us in the banquet halls of heaven, where the blessings will just continue to flow. So here in our little dot of life, we say, yes, Jesus, I would like some of your Father's Dutch apple pie fresh off the stove. And while you're at it, please give me some Brussels sprouts too. I hear they're good for me, and I am not afraid of my future with you. Pastor Pete shared this last story with us in a sermon this past summer, but it's worth re-highlighting, at least in brief. It fits. A true story. The old pastor, from his bed, gazed at his preacher sons gathered around his bed. There was no amazing miracle that was going to happen from what he knew to spare his life. The doctors had, in their own way, said, you are not going to survive this. You are going home to heaven. The father stared at his sons. He shared with them the prognosis. And tears filled all of their eyes, but there was a smile on his face. And he said to his sons, I have never felt so free. All I have to do is sit here and wait for Jesus to take me home. You see, the Dutch apple pie had been sitting warm on the stove for a long time, waiting just for him. And he was wearing clothes that were pressed and dry cleaned, ready to go home to heaven. And he was where his feet were fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And he knew that one banquet was about to end, but an even better banquet was beginning. No Brussels sprouts. Only the presence of God. What a Thanksgiving feast that will be for you and me. So do we see it, the feast in front of us? God's promises in the daily bread, God's love in the challenges and the struggles, and God's faithfulness for our Thanksgiving. We have fed well. And as God's people so often do, let us close our meal with prayer. Let's read off the screen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen.